Obviously, it can be topical, so but you can go ahead and turn to Psalm 100. That'll be the first place we go. Like I said, I am going to take a break from 2 Corinthians and preach a topical message, which what that means is that you preach on a certain topic. Okay, that's pretty simple to understand. And the topic today is going to be on the topic of Thanksgiving. November, many preachers do or pastors use this month to preach on Thanksgiving. And although I'm not the one to feel obligated to speak, I mean, if it's Christmas Day, I'll preach on something else if I feel like I need to. I don't feel obligated, and that's not the type of person I am. Some people do, some pastors really think you ought to, I guess. But I did, and I thought about it, I did feel led to do what I usually don't do and preach a topical message, which topical, hopefully, or supposed to be, still probably very biblical, and I hope to do that this morning. Be very, biblical. It will be a different approach, as I preached, or as I studied. One thing I did, I'll just say it, was I took the word Thanksgiving and went to the, you know, obviously, multiple words, Greek words in the Bible that used to translate Thanksgiving. So I did kind of a cross-reference type of deal, and I started looking, at different verses that use the word Thanksgiving or be thankful. And as I started looking at these verses collectively, I started kind of seeing some of the, some truths about Thanksgiving, that I thought would be appropriate for today, and so I compiled, four truths that I want to share, okay? Four truths that I want to share about Thanksgiving, and, here in just a minute. So obviously not an exhaustive list, but some things I think will be good for us today. So the theme today is kind of, even a topical needs to have a theme, okay? The theme is kind of general and broad, but it's truths about Thanksgiving, okay? Truths about Thanksgiving. Now, when I say the word Thanksgiving, you know, I would give it to my wife teachers, I think third grade, third grade, and I guarantee if you to ask third graders, what is Thanksgiving, the first thing they're going to do is talk about the holiday. Thanksgiving Day, the pilgrim. And, well, obviously, that is an answer, and that would be a correct answer, but today, I hope when I say Thanksgiving, we understand that we're talking about an expression of gratitude, especially to God. Now, I read this, and it said, perhaps there is no greater, perhaps there are greater sin than the sin of ungratefulness. But, this person said, I do not know of an uglier sin than a sin of ungratefulness. So back again, there are maybe, quote, worse sins than ungratefulness, but this one person said, there's not a sin that's uglier. And I would agree with that. And William Shakespeare even said this, how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. Now, that's written kind of weird, so in other words, and you say a thankless, an ungrateful child is sharper than a serpent's tooth. Okay? And it does seem that we live, and always in this way, but it does seem like our society, because of different things that we have a lot of times the younger generation, it seems like every generation that gets, you know, that comes along, does seem to be less grateful. Now, a lot of it because they don't have to work for it. There's no skin in the game, but anyway, that's a whole other sermon there, but you see it's a person, or especially a child, who is ungrateful, and it is a very ugly thing to see. It's very ugly. And so, like I said, it may not be the greatest sin, but it is an ugly sin. And here it is. I want you to know this. Being ungrateful is a sin. So let's look here at the first truth. The command of Thanksgiving. The command, okay? Being thankful isn't something we do because the pilgrim set a good example. I want you to understand that. Being thankful, you know, I'm not busting on, if we're teaching on Thanksgiving about the pilgrim, but we need to be thankful because the pilgrims were thankful. Right, kid? That's right. That's a great example. But it goes much deeper than that for a believer. For as a believer, you and I, today, no matter how bad your situation is, are commanded to be thankful. And here's the thing. Being thankful isn't something that is limited to November. Just like, I've already got my sermon done for next Sunday because we're going to be going out of town. I'm going to be preaching on generosity. in 2 Corinthians. And just like Christmas time, it's amazing to me, poor people and hungry people need to be fed in other times than just Christmas. You know? So like that, we need to be generous all the time. Same thing with thankfulness. We need to be thankful, not just in November. This is why. Because it's commanded. So let's look here. The first thing I want to point out here is thankfulness is an expression. Okay, so stay with me. We'll get to the other one here in just a minute. But thankfulness is an expression, okay? And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, it's more than an emotion. We become emotional. We have an emotion of thankfulness. And that's what most people view it as. Most people view thankfulness as a feeling. That is true. It is a feeling, but it goes much more than that. Yet a feeling does not completely describe what thankfulness is. You say, what do you mean? Well, if you're in Psalm 100, let's look here at verse 4. This is the key verse. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his court with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Right here, and David was the author of me. David was a very emotional person. He was maybe more tender-hearted. You know, he was definitely very animated. A lot of times when he become sad, when he become happy, read Psalms, all of them, you'll see he was very emotional. But here, he said he was thankful. But I want you to reveal something that David did. David just didn't just get emotional. He become active. He become expressive. You say, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 1. It says this. And Psalm 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. David's thankfulness led him to shout to the Lord. He shouted. He made a joyful noise unto the Lord. His thankfulness was an expression. The second one, in verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. He not only did he shout to the Lord, but David served the Lord. And that's one thing we see. So he said, well, I'm thankful for the Lord. Well, do you serve him? Because being thankful to God leads you to serve the Lord. Same thing is, you know, have you ever been really thankful for somebody in your life and you didn't do anything for them because you were thankful? Well, the same thing should be true of yourself when it comes to God. If you're truly thankful for God, then you should be willing to do anything. And we know that David was. Let's read on. It says here, and verse 2 again, it says, sing to the Lord. It says, come before his presence with singing. He sung to the Lord. Now, obviously, just so you know, this is why topical is not bad, but topical doesn't, we're not going to dive into any passage really deep. Okay, that's what topical does. So we're kind of skimming the surface, okay? But that's okay. Sing to the Lord. No, I thought about it. We need, as your pastor, I had a soapbox here, but I marked it all out. But I'm going to say, as your pastor, I wish y'all sung better in the congregation. Brother Mark doing a great job. And I feel like, you know, I know that I don't sing out loud, but I can't hear none of y'all. And I know I'm hard of hearing. And I know, but I do, and I sort of still, even myself, I was convicted. I even sung louder today than I usually do. We need to sing to the Lord. And it is amazing to me, you know, I'm gonna say this, I've noticed we love music. We love performing music, or we like listening to music. But I've learned something that I've observed that we don't necessarily do a lot of private and personal singing. I mean, I would say in the church, the most important thing is not performing music and everybody listening to it. I think the most important aspect of music in church is to be you sitting in your pew singing to the Lord. By the way, even at home. Now, I don't do a lot of it, but I took a hymn book and I've sang songs in my office before my devotion because there's something to it. It shows a thankfulness, and I'll be honest, the lack of hearing people sing makes me wonder how thankful are you to God, really. Now, that's all I'm going to say. But like we love music, but I'm afraid we don't love music. We love music. I'm not sure if we love singing music to God. And we love for a group to come in and us to sit in our pew and just listen. But you don't really see a lot of that in the Bible. You see a lot of people singing to God. You see him personally singing. See, I broke it down. I forgot what I called it. Music is important in the public performance aspect, but not in the personal and the private. And that's a true statement. You look at any church, you'll see a lot of emphasis on the public performance, but you don't see any emphasis on the private and personal music. Uh-oh. True. Anyway, I scratched that, but I read it anyway. But that's not all I had to say. We'll just stop there. He sung to the Lord. His thankfulness was expressive. It was an expression. He said in verse 3, and it says this. Let me look at my, I got the notes here, but let me make sure I'm saying it right. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. You ever know something? You know, my wife was right. I needed a bottle of water, and I ignored her. So anyway, sorry. I was being stubborn. So he said, know that ye, that the Lord, he is God. What David's saying here, David said, I'm thankful, and my thankfulness is going to cause me to submit to God. Are you really thankful? It was actually my wife's idea to do testimony this morning, and I asked for the mic if he would do it. He may have already been going to do that, I don't know. But no, that thing, not my type of thing. My wife said, we ought to do that, okay. No, I'm glad that you did that. But a lot of times I see people, they'll get up and shout to the Lord, and have a tear in the eye, but then they don't submit to God later. And I would like to say, then are you really thankful? So if you're truly thankful to God, David said, I am thankful to God. I entered his court with praying. But what do we see David doing over and over? Submitting to God. So thankfulness is an expression. And it's expressed, if you truly are thankful, you're going to submit to God. And then it is another verse out of Psalms 105:1. But let's go there if you want to. And it says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. You know, in the area of salvation and Christianity, God is the only person that we're so thankful for, but we never tell anybody. Oh, we love to say, oh man, God is just my rock. He's my anchor. Oh, I couldn't live without God. I don't know how I make it without God. And then we do this. We walk around people who are not saved, we never tell anybody about God. Are you really not thankful for what God did in your life? If you are, you're supposed to make it known. You're supposed to be speaking. You're supposed to be sharing about the Lord. Thankfulness is an expression. Thankfulness leads to doing. Like I said, we do. And there's nothing wrong with it. We did it this morning. And nothing wrong to have testimony service. But my friend, a lot of times we think that thankfulness is just getting a tear in our eyes and saying that we're thankful for God, yet many times in our life, our day-to-day life, no one knows that we really are thankful for God. If you are not serving and living for God, you might not be as thankful for God as you think you are. Because thankfulness is an expression. It's going to be visible. Thankfulness is visible. We'll talk about this later, but remember the story about the 10 lepers? All 10 got healed, right? But only one came back. He was thankful. His thankfulness was visible. It was expressive. Yeah, all the other 9 people said, well, I'm thankful too. I'm thankful. But no one knew they were thankful because they wasn't thankful. Because I get what I'm saying here. Thankfulness has fruit. Thankfulness is going to be visible. You look over and over again, it's going to be visible. The people who sit silently and don't do anything for God, well, I'm really thankful for God. No, you're not. No, if you are thankful, you'll see it. There's proof in the pudding. Don't sit there and say you're thankful if no one else around you knows you're thankful. Thankfulness is more than saying you're thankful once a year. It's an expression. But not only is it an expression, but letter B, it is an exhortation. Okay, so it's an exhortation. Thankfulness is more than a good suggestion. It is an exhortation. And if you want to, I've got my note, you can just listen. But I really just listen because I don't want you, you know, it depends on how fast you find it. If you're like me, I don't know my books of the Bible in order, so it takes me a while. Especially in the minor prophets. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Alright? Now here's another one, Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, that to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now you say, why did you read them two verses? Because both of them verses say, be ye thankful. Now if you look it up in the Greek, it's an imperative. That means it's a command. It's not an option. It is a command. And now there's other verses in the Bible that give the principle that it's a command. But then you are actually a command that we are to be thankful. Thankfulness isn't an option. And here's the thing. When we are not thankful, we are being sinful. Once again, you know, I say this all the time. We have some sins in the church that I call acceptable sins. Here they are. Worry, gossip, not loving your enemy. Here's another one. Being ungrateful. It is very acceptable in most churches to not be thankful. Oh, but now we can preach all day on fornication and homosexuality and murder and drunkenness. Oh, now we'll harp on them, but them's not acceptable, and I'm glad they're not. But we have just turned a blind eye to the fact that most of us struggle with being thankful. Anytime we find ourselves not being thankful to God, it is a sin. We don't like hearing that because you know why? Because that applies to us. Because see, that don't go on a checklist of what a good Christian is supposed to do. A good Christian is supposed to go to church. A good Christian is supposed to do this, this, and this. But now, being thankful is not one of them. Hey, perfectly okay, but you, most people, okay, for a sec, I think I might put it in my notes. No, I didn't. I think I took it. You see it all the time. You see a kid, especially like a little kid, parent, the kid lies, right? They get in trouble. Or they steal. Let's say stealing, because that would embarrass the parent. They steal something. Oh, I can't believe you did that. But I've seen over and over where kids are ungrateful and mom and dad never address it. That don't embarrass them. So it's okay. It's okay that they're unthankful, but it's not okay that they steal. You see what I see? The hypocrisy? See, we ourselves are guilty of being ungrateful, and we see it in our kids as well. We see it in the next generation. We need to realize that thankfulness is a command. It's not okay. So here's the deal, ready? Let's make sure that we obey this one too. I'm glad, well, now that you can't say this in church, I mean, I'm glad that the church is still against fornication, which that's something that you're seeing in a church overall. You're seeing a drift, and that's acceptable. Now we're still getting homosexuality, but not fornication. I'll prove it. Most people say, I just can't believe that TV show homosexual on there. What about shows that portray fornication? So we're okay with that, aren't we? We're okay with people portraying having sex outside of marriage. That's okay. But now you put two people who are gay, now that's not okay. See, we're starting to accept it. And something that we're out for ourselves. We're accepting the fact that, you know, what my point was, I'm glad that you stand against fornication and homosexuality, but we need to stand against being unthankful as well. And go back to, we love to look at other people and see what's wrong with them instead of looking at our own lives and saying, you know what, I may be as guilty as the fornicator when it comes to being ungrateful. Here's the thing, it's a command. Let's make sure we're obeying that one. We see the call of the command of Thanksgiving. Now look at the problem of Thanksgiving. The problem of Thanksgiving. If you want to, you can turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Which I can find that book pretty easy, hopefully. And I'm not going to read all these verses at once, but look at verse 11. And it says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, and Jesus, and he passed through the midst of the Samaritan and Galilee, and in a certain village, there met 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Okay, so we see here, now let me give you the first one here, and then we're going to come back to the story here in just a minute, okay? So that's the story. The problem with Thanksgiving, first thing we do, is we fail to recognize God's goodness. Okay? We fail to recognize God's goodness. Okay? Now, the reason that we are not thankful is because we don't think God is good to us. I'm going to say that again. I'm getting somewhere with this, so stay with me. So we fail to recognize God's goodness. The reason that we are not thankful is because we don't think God is good to us. It's hard to believe, but true. Now, we would never say it like that, but many times in our life, we look around and think this, I got the short end of the stick. Now, be honest. Have you ever been in a situation in your life when you look around at what everybody else is doing and think, you know what, I got the short end of the stick? Miss Jean agreed with me. Thank you. I'm glad that you're honest today. You know, and I know some of the other ones are. I've been that way. I've been there. When I've looked around and said, I've got the short end of the stick. You know what I'm saying? Right then, I'm basically saying that God has not been good to me. Yet, what's happened is what we've really done, we forgot God's goodness. And the best way to correct this is God's word. Alright, we're going to look here. This is why emotions can be so dangerous. It's called emotionalism, okay? You say, hear me out. Your emotions may whisper in your ear, and sometimes in your life, it'll say this, God's not good. Something tragic's happened. And you every day, you're getting beat down, and you're getting beat down, and you wake up, and your emotions say, God's not good. So what do we do? God's word shouts that God is good. If you go to the word of God today, and you say, okay, I'm going to look at what the word of God says, it don't matter what your situation is, as you start looking at the word of God, it's going to tell you that God is good. Which is why you need to make sure that you build your theology from the word of God and not your feelings. That's why I'm thinking right now, if you're thinking you got the short end of the stick, and that does happen, let's be honest, we do that all the time, probably weekly. What you need to do is you need to make sure you build your theology off the word of God. So what does the word of God say? Well, here's the Old Testament. Exodus 34:6, it says this, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. So yeah, your life may be whispering to you, your emotions may be saying, God is not good. But right here, God said, God is good. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good. Now let's look at a few Psalms. Psalm 33:5, he loved righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of goodness of the Lord. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 105, the Lord is good. Psalm 119:68, thou art good and doest good. Psalm 145:7-9, thou shalt abundantly utter the memory of the great goodness, and shall sing of the righteousness, the Lord is good to all. See, the problem, many times we're not thankful. And here's the breakdown. We let our situation, our emotions, tell us that God's not good. And we wake up and we fail to recognize how good God has been to us. That's what happens. God is good. God has been good to all of us, yet we fail to recognize that in our lives, which is why we don't thank God. Now, here's the problem, Miss Janet. You know what the problem is? God has been so good to us that we complain about God's goodness when we don't even realize it. You say, what do you mean? I got to go to the doctor. Praise the Lord that you have the opportunity to go to the doctor. I gotta go to the bank today. Thank God you got a paycheck to go to the bank. I've got to go to the grocery store. Thank God that you have the money and that God's been so good to us that most of us can go to the grocery store any day of the week we want to and get whatever we want most of the time. I've got, and I'm serious, I'm going to say this, my personal one, I've got to have surgery. I've had two surgeries since I've lived here. I had a surgery when I lived in Raleigh, right before I, well, a couple of years before I came here. You know, we like that, oh, I got to have surgery. You know how many people in other places just wish they could have the opportunity to be cured of their problem? You see, the fact that we can have surgery is a blessing from God. But now, do we view it that way? No. See, God's been so good to us that we actually complain about God's goodness. We fail to recognize that when you're sick, thank God that we live in America where He has blessed us so much that we actually complain that we gotta take antibiotics that hurt my stomach. I just can't stop. This is just terrible. I gotta take medicine that hurts my stomach every day. Yet the people overseas dying because they can't even get that antibiotic. It's the first, what I think my father-in-law said, a first world problem. Oh, I just, you're complaining. You are actually complaining about how good God has been. We're literally sitting around complaining about getting help. I can't believe what the doctor, he wants me to do this. Thank God that we have doctors that are smart enough, or some of them, that are smart enough and are compassionate enough to know what to do and spent their life. I've got a good doctor, my ENT doctor, he's a great doctor. And he could be retired, probably. I mean, I'm assuming as a doctor, he could probably be living on the ocean in a yacht. Instead, I don't know how old he is. Pretty old. And, I won't say a number because some of y'all be that same age, so I won't say how old I think he is. But anyway. But he gets up every day or every other day, whatever it is, and comes to work and let the people complain and grumble to help them. And he knows his stuff. Yet we complain about, I gotta go. I gotta wait an hour. We're complaining about, here's another one. I got to clean the house. Could be worse, you could not have a house. I got to cook supper. Could be worse, you could not have no food to cook. God's been good. The fact that you get to cook supper means God's been good to you. You see, all those things that we complain about is God being good to us, but yet we fail to recognize God's goodness because He's been too good to us. We are no better than the Israelites that complain about the manna. Remember when bread fell from heaven? And they would get the food and they would get a belly full. You remember after a while they started complaining about that and they wanted meat? I wrote this down. I bet if God would only sent down manna once every 3 days, they would have never stopped being thankful. Think about if they had to wait a couple of days for the Howard and they would have started growling. I bet that bread would have been a whole lot better, wouldn't it? They would, oh, thank God that I got bread today. But what happened, God, like in America, God was too good to them. He was abundantly good, so they started complaining about God's goodness. And that, so we all like, I can't believe the Israelites, we are the same way. Can't believe how high gas is. In fact, you got a vehicle. You know, like I think, I forgot who was talking about how that in other countries, they think that you're just rich, that you're just a millionaire if you have one vehicle. And most of them have two. Or three. We fail to recognize God's goodness, which leads to not being thankful. And that, my friend, is a problem. So letter A, we fail to recognize God's goodness. But letter B, we also fail to rehearse God's goodness. Obviously, if we fail to recognize it, we're not going to rehearse it. Now, let's go back to the what I just read in Luke chapter 17, the story of 10 lepers. It's really a sad story. It's really a story of the epidemic of ungratefulness. We see in verses 11 through 13, we see the request here. Jesus comes to town, and there's 10 lepers, and they say, heal us! Heal us! Well, obviously, if you don't, I don't know if you know anything about leprosy, but there's no cure for leprosy. It wasn't back then. There was no cure. It was a very painful disease, and to make it short, you basically rotted to death. If we're having you rotting to death, what you did. Your fingers will fall off, your arm will fall off, you will rot to death. By yourself. Here's the response in verse 14. Jesus said, go to the priest. Now, there was actually, back then there was no cure for leprosy. But it was, and if sometimes you thought you had leprosy, and you'd be quarantined, and then when you realized you didn't have leprosy, you could go to the priest, and he could declare you clean. So now these people had leprosy, and Jesus said, go to the priest, because he had healed them. And after going, and that happened, they were healed. And then we see here in verse 15, look at verse 15. And it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, which is kind of ironic because he's a Samaritan. He was a religious expert. See, that's the thing. Sometimes we got religious experts in church. Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. Oh, but most of the time we forget that we sin too. And one of the sins that the religious expert does, we sometimes are not thankful. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. So we see here a little sarcasm. We see here that he actually pointed out the fact, where are the 9 at? What, did I not count 10? Where are they at? So what we see here, we see that Jesus is obviously disappointed that the others did not come back to thank him. God had been good to them, yet the 9 failed to rehearse God's goodness. The problem with thanksgiving is the majority of us are ungrateful. Yeah, most of us would like to think that we're the one. Oh, I'm not one. Maybe you are. I can't speak for you. But I think that an accurate statement, an assumption would be that most of us fall into the 9. And most of us fail to rehearse God's goodness. Most of us fail to be thankful. The problem here is, we most of the time are ungrateful. So what do we do? Here's what we do. We need to work on that. We need to work on that. We need to work at being more thankful. So we see the command of thanksgiving. We see the problem with thanksgiving. Now, let's look at the benefits. The benefits of thanksgiving. Because here's the thing. It's great. You should do it because God told you to. But if you are thankful, there are some benefits. And as I was studying this word, I saw a common theme. Thankfulness is accompanied by good results. My mentor, Jeff Jones, wrote this. God's word presents thankfulness as a medicine. Thankful people worry less, complain less, live with much more peace. So I got 3 things that I just kind of put together that's a benefit. Number one, thankfulness gives us safety. It gives us safety. Romans 1:21 says this, because that when they knew God, that's where we're at, we know God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know, obviously we're not going to study that in depth, but obviously there's a correlation between sin and not being thankful. Many times, when we, as believers, start thinking that God gives the short end of the stick, what usually happens? We become ungrateful. When we become ungrateful, you see it over and over, many people turn away from God. They say, well, and basically we don't say this, but we justify sin because we think that God hasn't been good to us. That's what happens. When we become ungrateful, see, well, here's the thing. If we'll spend in every day being thankful to God, I guarantee you, he's going to put a hedge about you to where you're not tempted to sin as much. And it's not rocket science. Think about it. Thankfulness keeps us from certain sins like jealousy. I guarantee if you're thankful today for what you have, you're not going to struggle with jealousy. If you are thankful today, you're not going to struggle with covetousness. If you're thankful today, you're not going to struggle with bitterness as much. You're not going to struggle with the sin of materialism, which can be a sin. When you're thankful, you're not going to be guilty of the sin of worry. I think any sin, gratefulness does help. Thankfulness keeps you safe. One of the things you see in Psalm, as you read David's life, David had a lot of problems. David did get the sword and the stick, we were saying. And he did pull out his complaints to God. But the one thing you see in the midst of the worst problem, you see David being thankful. Why? Because there's something to it. Thankfulness helps us stay safe. Thankfulness not only gives us safety, but it also gives us strength. It gives us strength. Colossians 2:7. It said it's rooted up and built in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught. So right there we see that this is a strong person. This person is a strong believer. But then it says this, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So what, again, we see a connection here. I see a connection that it's people who are strong spiritually do something in their lives. They are thankful. Once again, I said it, but even in Psalm, with David, many times David was weak and weary. He was just complaining to God. He was saying, my bones are broken. My enemy oppressed me. And then almost every time somewhere in that Psalm, he would say something like this, God, thank you. God, you're good. God, you've been great to me. God, thank you for delivering me. And always came as well. Because why? Because there's something about us being thankful to God. It strengthens us. Hey, right now, you're having a bad day. You feel like you're being pressed by life. Then stop and thank God. And know that that's going to help you. And it's going to strengthen you. It's going to recall who God is in your life. It gives us strength. It gives us safety. It gives us strength. But then the letter C, it gives us serenity. It gives us serenity. It gives us peace. And it is a major one. Philippians 4:6-7 says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Paul here is giving a recipe of a worry-free life, a life of peace. And the one thing Paul said to do was leave your concern with God while giving thanksgiving. Now, we've talked through this, and we went through the book by Max Lucado, Be Anxious for Nothing. That's where it's coming from. You might remember this from Wednesday night. But this is what he said. An anxious heart says, Lord, if only I had this and that, I'd be okay. The grateful heart says this, oh, look, you have already given me this and that and other. Thank you, God. And I'm not, obviously, we don't have time to go into all of that, but when you look at your blessings, take note of what happened. Anxiety grabbed its bag and slipped out the back door. Worry refused to share the heart with gratitude. One of the biggest benefits of being thankful is having peace. I mean, we studied that in depth on Wednesday night in that book, is that thanksgiving is there for a reason. And what it did, I couldn't find what it was that. I might have made it up. I don't know. I tried to look back in that book. I couldn't find. But you know what thankfulness does? When we're worrying, what are we worrying about? We're worried about tomorrow or the day behind us, right? When we're thankful to God, it makes us live today. It gets our mind off tomorrow. It gets our mind off the mistakes we made yesterday. And it says, today, I've got clothes on. I've got a full belly. All these things, everything is good. But what do we usually do? We worry about 2 months from now. I may not have clothes in 2 months. I may not have food in 2 months. I might be sick in 2 months. Thankfulness says, God, thank you for today. And then what it does, it kind of puts you in here. That's what it does. He said it in that book, but I couldn't find it. It makes us live today. And that's really all we have. Think about what you're worried about today. I guarantee you it's not something of today. It's something in the future or something in the past. It may be 5 years from now. But see, thankfulness, it benefits us because it gives us serenity. Gratitude is the greatest virtue. Studies have linked it to various positive effects. People who are thankful are more empathetic and forgiving of others. Maybe one of the reasons why you're struggling to forgive somebody is because you struggle to be thankful. You have a positive outlook on life. You're less envious, materialistic, and self-centered. It enhances relationship and quality of sleep and longevity. That's what he said. If it came in a pill, gratitude would be the miracle cure. It is no wonder that God's anxiety therapy includes a long, delightful dollop of gratitude. Man, you said, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you that being thankful is very beneficial to you. We see the call of the command of thanksgiving. We see the problem of thanksgiving. We see the benefit of thanksgiving. And finally, let's look here at the example. The example of thanksgiving will be done today. And the first thing is who? Who to be thankful to? I'll tell you who. God. And you say, what do you mean? Well, Psalm 34. Sing unto the Lord, O you saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. I thought that was interesting. I'm not going to get on this because obviously it's a topical. We don't have time. I thought it was interesting that he said give thanks for God's holiness. Not God's provisions. Not what God's done for you, but God's holiness. Holiness. We ought to be thankful for God for who God is, not what God does for us. Now, there's nothing wrong with that too, but I think it's interesting he said be thankful at the remembrance of God's holiness. We ought to be thankful to God, not what God can do for us, but God himself. Psalm 30:12. To the end that my glory may sing praises to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Psalm 75:1. Give thee, O God, do we give thanks. And to thee do we give thanks. Well, what again? Who? God. Psalm 79:13. So the people and the sheep of thy pastures will give thee thanks forever. Here's who. Who will you be thankful to? And David gives us an example. David's our example. And he tells us who? He says God. We need to be thankful to God. Yes, we need to be thankful for people in our lives. We need to be thankful for other things. But we need to make sure that the being that we're most thankful for is God and because of who he is. That's who. But let's look at another example. That would be Jesus Christ himself. He gave us an example. And this one is when. When to be thankful. We see who to be thankful to, God, but then when. And let's look here. I wrote down, when do we need to be thankful? When stressed. You say, what do you mean? Well, Luke 22:17-19. Here's the context. This is when Jesus is going to be crucified. He has known he's going to be betrayed. He knows that he's going to be forsaken. And he does the Lord's Supper. And it, what it said, and he took the cup and gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. I mean, it wasn't long after that he was in the garden praying. And he said he was so stressed that blood came out of his sweat glands because the little blood vessels in his head burst because he was under so much stress, and it mingled with the sweat, and he sweated blood, which was a prophecy that he said he would do, which is very explainable medically. You can look it down and look it up. He was stressed, but what we see that he was still being thankful. He set an example for when we are to be thankful. Here it is, ready? When we're stressed. In your deepest, darkest hour, when things are the worst, when we don't want to, we need to thank God. That's what we need to do. We need to thank God. And guarantee you, it'll help. Because we go back to the benefits. Some of the problems that we in my life, really that I struggle in situations sometimes, is because I forget the number one recipe, that is being thankful to God. Being thankful. Not only when we're stressed, but when we're blessed. Go back to Jesus again. Matthew 15:36. I'll read the verse and give you the content. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks. There it is. And broke them and gave to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And then did all eat and were filled. And then took up the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. All right, so now let's give you the context. Jesus had the crowd. Jesus had a group of people. He'd been preaching. God, and let's be honest, I know Jesus is God, but if we were to look at this situation, We would think that God was nowhere to be found in his first situation, right? God left him. And in this situation, everything's going good. He's being blessed. I mean, he's popular. He's not meant to be crucified. You know, he's got a belly full of food. He's got friends. His disciples love him. I mean, he just got done wowing everybody. And before he did that, it said that he was thankful. See, the same. See, we need to do the same thing. See, here Jesus set an example. We need to be thankful when we're stressed, which we don't like to do. So you think the flip side of that, Miss Janet, would be that when we're being blessed, that we would be guaranteed to be thankful. It's not true. What happens on this side, that God's blessing us, we're having fun, and something happens, we forget to be thankful. It don't really matter. I mean, you got somebody who in high life, they're not being thankful. You got somebody who's down in the valley, and when you see a lot of time, and they're not thankful. See, so what the example tells us, David tells us when, or Jesus tells us when, we are to be thankful. And that is when we're stressed and when we're blessed. And all the time in between. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5:13 if you want to. In everything, give thanks. So, here it is. When should we be thankful? When we're down in the dump. When we're being stressed. When we're high on life. When we're being blessed. And, right here, and everywhere in between. Right here. Right here. No matter where you're at in life. Right here. Right here. Right here. Just, Paul said, in everything. So you said, Dad, you may not be here, and you may not be here. You might be right here. But guess what? For you too. You need, just when life is just being mundane and monotonous, and things are just kind of a slow grind, and even during that time, we need to be thankful. Because what does happen is every now and then, a lot will go, oh, when things go bad, oh, God, thank you for everything. And then sometimes, well, yeah. God really blessed me. I ought to be thankful. But even in between, we need to make sure that we are being thankful. And that is the example that is taught us when to be thankful. Our example teaches us to be thankful to God always. David tells us who to be thankful to, and Jesus tells us when to be thankful always. And we conclude here it is. Here's what we learned. We are commanded to be thankful. It had nothing to do with the pilgrims. That's great. I like it. I used to love dressing. When I was a kindergarten, I loved dressing up as that pilgrim and the Indian. I like the Indian a lot more because I was an Indian guy. I love Indians. It was kind of weird, but I wanted to be an Indian. Literally, I wanted to be an Indian. And if I'd had that Ancestry.com, I would have looked it up and see if I had any Indian blood in me. That's how bad I wanted to be an Indian. I was mad they had to wear a hearing aid because Indians didn't have hearing aids. I'm saying that's it. But that's not what Thanksgiving is about. It's not because of pilgrims. It's not because of the Mayflower. I mean, it's a great opportunity to teach God in that. Don't get me wrong. But we ought to be thankful because it's commanded. And when we're not thankful, it's a sin. Just like fornication is a sin. It's a sin that God is not happy with. We have a problem following that command. That's what we learned in the second thing. We have a command to be thankful, but here it is. We have a problem following that command. You can say what you want to. Maybe you're different. I know some of you are thankful, but I know in my own life, that is a struggle in my life to be thankful all the time. All the time. That's something that I need to work on. But what's so sad is that if we would just obey God, what we learn is that being thankful is very beneficial. I guarantee you, each of you, if you're not being thankful, could change your, you could revolutionize your life in the next week by just being thankful. I promise you. You know why? Because God's Word tells us that. And so if you're like me, if you're struggling to do that, then look at the example. Look at the example of David and the example of Jesus and even the apostle to know that we need to be thankful to God at all time. That's what I hope to challenge you today to be thankful. That's really it. That's really the pinnacle of the sermon. We need to be thankful in our lives. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed just for a second. As right before I pray, I don't know about you, maybe God spoke to your heart. Maybe you're like me. Probably one thing I realize is, number one, I'm not being as thankful as I need to be. That's the first thing. But then also, I keep myself complaining about the goodness that God has given me. I complain about all the blessings He has done for me. And I don't know about you, but that really was convicting as I thought. I'm just like the Israelites. Oh, God, give me bread. But then I start complaining about the bread. Let's make sure we're not that way. Today, maybe we need to ask God to forgive you of the sin of ungratefulness. And we pray, if that's what God dealt with you, I challenge you to do that right now. Father, I thank you for this day. I want to thank you for all that you've done for us, literally, Lord. Thank you for being God. Thank you for being holy. Thank you for, I was thinking about earlier when during the testimony time, I'm thinking, Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, without it, you could have gotten rid of me a long time ago, Lord, and many times over. But Lord, because of your grace, because of who you are, because you do have grace and mercy, Lord, you are merciful to me and spare me, Lord. And you're good to me even when I am complaining about you. And Lord, I ask you, Father, to forgive me of that. Lord, I ask you for the people here today, if they're guilty of that as well, that you'll forgive them. Lord, help us, Lord, to go out, Lord, and to be thankful. Lord, help us to not, to truly have a mind and an attitude of thankfulness in our lives for you, Father. And Lord, I thank you for all you've done. Lord, I do ask you to continue to move the ones that we've mentioned today and the one that are sick, Lord. I know that during this time, for most people, and it is a hard time to be, it's easy to not be thankful, Lord. But Father, we got so much. Even the worst day in America is 20 times better than anywhere else. And Lord, I ask you to help us, Father, to remember that, Lord. And even if it's not the best day, but Lord, that you are still good to us. And I thank you for all you've done in Christ's name. Amen.